Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
All right, this is Josh Choi, working for Slug Magazine.
We almost just died. Don't mind us, we almost die every 5 seconds here in Austin, Texas, because we take over the streets here for South by Southwest.
I love movie cats!
I'm JP, and this is another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S. We distribute free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. Recently, our editorial staff went down to check out South by Southwest, the 2012 edition. Why don't we go around the room right now and introduce everybody? We're currently joined by everyone that went down there, starting with you, Angela.
Angela Brown, editor of Slug Magazine.
Jeanette Moses, managing editor.
Esther Moronio, editorial assistant.
And Joshua Joy, issue designer.
Thanks for joining me, everybody. We just got you fresh off the plane, actually, Esther, so you guys are literally trickling in. You guys seem to have a really great time. How was the experience overall, would you say?
So good.
Big smiles, the reactions, the questions, so that says it right there.
I saw a tweet from Esther last night, the best week of your life.
Yes!
I'd say life-changing.
Do you still want to live there, Jeanette?
I love South by Southwest. It's one of my favorite times of year. I don't know, it's a really fun 5 days. You spend so much time seeing music, you're just walking around this great city that is Austin. By the end of it, you're exhausted, but you've had so much fun that it's totally worth it.
I should say that most of the bars actually have little notes that say, thanks for being here. Please don't move here.
They want to keep Austin weird, but not too crowded, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw a guy with that shirt on, actually.
Yeah, keep Austin weird. And it definitely is. And it's such a crazy experience. There's so many people. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around it. But we've decided to visit a few of your top favorites from the week, bands and experiences that you enjoyed. We can kick it off with you, Angela. You're on my right. Do you want to talk about your favorite first band we got here?
Yeah, you got it. Ceremony. Basically, started off the morning, got up a little bit early, and worked on processing some photos for our content. Then went to the Fader Fort with Jeanette and Josh and got some free beer for breakfast. And then right after that, we went over to the Thrasher Magazine and Converse Showcase and saw Ceremony play. And I was really excited for this showcase. We'd have an interview with them in the March issue. And there's someone that I've been following around for a couple months, just collecting all their records or their albums. So I was very, very excited to finally see them play live. And they did not disappoint.
And we can see some pictures online that you took?
Yep, right? You can see a full gallery from South by South official showcases and unofficial showcases. This was an unofficial party, but it was such a good time. Just really great, loud, hardcore. The crowd got really into it. The lead singer kind of reminded me a little bit of Ian Curtis with some of his crazy antics and humiliating behavior. It was just mind-blowing.
And that was at the Scoot Inn.
Scoot Inn, which is one of my favorite South by Southwest venues. I hadn't been there for, this is my first time back to South by Southwest in 4 years, and the Scoot Inn did a lot of upgrades. You can tell that they've been making some money off the festival, which is nice. The first time I went there years ago, it was just a trashy shithole. And it still is a trashy shithole with some improvements. It's a little bit nicer now, so I'm happy to see them. The local economy in Austin just grow because of this big music event.
It was cool because they actually had a ramp in the back at the Scoot Inn, and so there were a bunch of like little kids skateboarding and like older people too, and a lot of, it was like a hardcore showcase, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I guess Pat Duffy was spotted there too, and some of this Converse skate team was also there. Thrasher brought that ramp in and set it up. It was professionally done with a little bit of additions of like tables here and there and whatnot.
At that show, or I guess at that party, they also had really awesome koozies they were giving out for free that on one side had the Converse logo and on the other the Thrasher logo, which I picked up one of those. I was pretty stoked on.
Just the one?
Just got one. Didn't want to be greedy.
Jeanette, Bass Drum of Death, you caught them at two different places, or is it?
Two different shows. I saw them for the first time, actually, totally accidentally. I was trying to kill time on Thursday and just decided to go to a place called the Hype Hotel, which it's an, I think it actually hosts official showcases too. The one I went to was the Aquarium Drunkard Day Party. Rolled in, had no idea who was playing, and then was just kind of asking around and realized that I was at a showcase that I had been on my list that I really wanted to see. And so that was a pretty fun little South by Southwest surprise. And then I saw them again at another day show on Saturday at a bar called The Dirty Dog. I don't know, Bass Drum of Death, it's really funny that this is the third, I guess after this week, it's the third time I've seen them play live. And you can tell they've just been on the road a ton. Their live performance has improved so much since they played Salt Lake last August. But they do have a very, I guess I describe it as a funny stage presence, because their lead singer and kind of mastermind behind the project has really long brown curly hair that is always just falling in front of his face. And so half the time, he doesn't even look like he's engaging with the crowd or even paying attention to all the people that are in the front row. I don't know, they kill it pretty hard.
Did you go up and introduce yourself and say, hey, I interviewed you?
I didn't at either of those shows. I was right in the front though, singing along to all the lyrics, looking like a fanboy.
I'm sure they remembered you. Pretty unforgettable. Esther, you saw the coat hangers at the Swan Dive. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, my experience was kind of similar to Jeanette's, but I didn't know who these girls were whatsoever. I was going to go see This Will Destroy You at 1 a.m. for the Suicide Squeeze showcase, and Swan Dive is over on Red River, just a few blocks away from 6th. I walked in a little early, just thinking I'd like grab a beer and hang out for a minute, and it's like I walked into a party. These girls are a quartet from Atlanta, and they were just having so much fun on stage and like yelping and screaming and just like bouncing up and down, and I was like, who are these girls? And I just like, I mean, everyone was like waiting till the show, so I didn't ask anyone right away, but I just pulled out my notepad right away and just started like scribbling down notes because they were so cool, and I was like, I'm gonna review these guys no matter who they are.
Are those your notes right there?
No, these are my notes for right now.
Well, what were some of your notes from that show? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think I kept, because something awesome that happened that just kind of blew me away is that they swapped instruments halfway through their set. There's a drummer and a guitarist, and both of them sing. So they swapped instruments. So the guitarist was on the drums and the drummer was on the guitar and started, you know, playing like pros. And then the bassist ended up on the drums, and the keyboardist was on the bass, and it was just insane. I was like, what? Who are these girls? You know, like, because I've never seen any band do that. They were just so much fun to watch, and the music was awesome. It's kind of like garage rocky. It's kind of all over the place, like punk. You guys saw them,
Yeah, like Bikini Kill, kind of like, it reminded me of a lot of the Riot Girl stuff from the 90s, mm-hmm. but with a little bit of a twist. I guess the twist would be that they all sing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Taking turns singing on different songs. That was fun.
You took pictures of this as well, Angela?
I did. Not this specific show, but I actually saw the Coat Hangers play at Spider House a few days later with the Stare. And we actually sat down with Josh Joy was there as well, and we had a conversation with them. And we'll probably put that up on slugmag.com within the next couple days for listeners to check out.
Yeah, I actually saw them 3 times while I was there.
Was that enough?
No, and they're coming to Salt Lake on April 1st, so I will be like front row, already have most of the songs memorized, just singing my lungs out, so.
You can ask Angela what Riot Girls wear, and you can wear the same thing.
Okay.
If you want. Here's your dress code. Josh, you saw Guadalupe Palacio. Is that correct, Esther? Is that Spanish?
Correct?
I don't know.
A red eye fly? How do you pronounce it, Josh?
I say Guadalupe Plata.
Oh, really? I said something completely different.
How did they say it?
They didn't. They didn't say it. Actually, I really didn't understand much of what any of they said due to the fact that they are from Spain and they speak all Spanish and their songs are in Spanish. But the most important part of it was the guitar work and all of the other music. I first heard it actually last year from NPR All Songs Considered. They cover the band. So I've been waiting a year to hear them live. They played last year. They played a showcase at the Red Eye Fly that was under Sounds of Spain.
And how was that venue? I don't think I ever went to that one.
Well, the thing is with that one, it was a bit hard because they played in the back and you had to go around the side to the
back part of the venue to get in there is a bit confusing, but I mean, once you've been to it once, you figure it out, no big deal.
And I actually met up with Josh at the very end of that set. I saw, I think, the last two songs.
Yeah.
And they were great. Kind of like Josh explained them to me earlier when I was trying to decide if I wanted to go, that they were sort of like a John Spencer Blues Explosion, the Spanish version of that. And he reminded me, he played a video for me on YouTube a few months back, and they were exceptional live. And weren't you saying that the band they were playing with were all Austin locals, that they had, that it was just the lead singer that was from Spain?
I believe they actually were, well, just the lead singer and the drummer from Spain. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a three set. I believe that two other guys, one was a bass player that played a wash basin and broomstick with a string somehow wired in, and then some other bass guitars, and then there had a harmonica player that was from Austin as well. So not all the members were there.
And you could tell the Austin members. I mean, they weren't as hip looking.
Yeah, they were definitely some older guys that
had drank a lot of beer.
Uh-huh.
Some big beer bellies. But they slayed it. They kept up.
Mm-hmm.
Where was this in the order of shows you saw? Was it one of the first or one of the last? Or
it's probably in the middle. I think it was on like
Wednesday or
Friday?
Thursday.
I think it was Friday. Yeah. Is when I saw them play.
That's what's kind of hard sometimes about when you are going to so many shows, is the days start to blur together.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I had one day where I think I saw 12 shows, where I was just going to shows all day long, and then I went to them all night long. And unless you've got to keep copious notes, so mm-hmm. they don't all blur.
Oh, definitely. And you kept notes?
Yeah, I just didn't bring them.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's no quiz. I was just wondering. Because I keep notes sometimes, and they all blend together, depending on how many Lone Stars we've had in a day, too. I mean, I don't know.
I am happy to report I had zero Lone Stars the entire time I was there.
No, that's not true.
It's
what?
Not,
no, I bought you some Lone Stars.
You bought us two Lone Stars at Tyco.
Caught on. Buy you guys Lone? Oh, okay. Well, I didn't buy any for me.
No. Maybe, and you didn't even accidentally drink one. So that's on record.
I think I drank some Lone Stars with you, Angela. I'm pretty damn sure I did.
I didn't buy any. I know that for myself. Maybe for Opus.
I think Josh and I might have bought you some at some point.
Yeah, because...
Really?
Because at one point you were drinking one and you said something like, I personally think Lone Star tastes like ass.
It does.
And it does.
You blocked it out. Like, this is traumatic. I'll just pretend it's something else.
Okay, apparently I drink several, but...
Well, hopefully you remember the Black Rider show at the Iron Bear. Those guys are from Australia? Is
yes,
that true?
Right. Yes.
And I don't know if that has anything to do with their music or not, but you enjoyed it sounds like,
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, they were a band that discovered at South by Southwest, discovered them actually through the South by Southwest app. Upon recommendation through the All Songs Considered podcast as well, there was a little teeny name check at the end of that, that one of their critics was going to go see them. And so I looked them up and heard a couple of songs through the app, which the app was pretty cool this year. It was really neat.
It's amazing.
To be able to do that. Australian duo, couple, married couple from Australia, just really, really great, kind of dark, moody, upbeat as well. The woman slayed on guitar, which I always like to see a girl slayed on guitar.
I liked that they were facing, the two women were facing each other the mm-hmm. whole time. That was kind of cool. It was kind of like a little guitar duo.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that the rest of the band weren't their typical band members, that they were also kind of studio musicians or touring musicians for the showcase, and some of them were Americans too. I think that the core songwriting crew were those two.
Did you get to take pictures as well at this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can talk a little bit about the method of how people view shows. As a writer, I go with a different view. If I've got a camera around my neck, it's slightly different as well. How does seeing a show through a camera lens affect the impact of it on you, do you think?
You know, it's great, number one, because you can muscle your way up to the front and you have an excuse to get in front of someone.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest pluses, I would say.
It is. I like to be one of those camera people that enjoys the music as well. Sometimes you'll see people up there that are just very stoic and very concerned with getting the right shot where they're not actually present. And so mm-hmm. I try and stay present and calculate the shot and wait for the right one, but still enjoy the show and still, you know what's happening with the music.
It's a balance, definitely. Mm-hmm. I know after some shows where I've taken pictures, I think to myself, man, maybe I should have enjoyed the music a little bit more on that one. But you were fully present at Black Rider. We've got shots of that online. And it was at the Iron Bear. I'm not familiar with that venue. Where is that in Austin?
Well...
The Iron Bear, quintessentially, on the way up, I was like, oh, that sounds like a complete gay bar. And when I got there, it was. Due to the
Nobody
fact
was
that,
checking out the ladies at that venue.
Due to
All
the fact,
eyes were on Josh Droy.
Yeah. Some guys wanted to take my photo with them. I let them.
So, you probably made them very happy.
Oh, they were quite happy. I could tell.
It definitely has a memorable title, that bar. I'm glad it lives up to your expectations as well. And you went to Maggie May's, which is a really cool venue in Austin. You got to catch Gossip, Jeanette.
Oh, this was so good. There's a review of this online where you can find all the details about it. I love the Gossip. I'm such a huge fan. When I found out they were playing South by Southwest, it was one of my top priority shows, which Josh, I think, actually made fun of me a little bit for, because he was like, well, you've seen them. Go see someone else. I was like, nope, it's going to be so good. Like, I'm going. And it was amazing. It blew me away. I mean, I don't even know where to start.
Didn't she strip down again?
She did. She came out her first song and she was wearing this like black dress and this black sequin butterfly cape thing. And after one song, she took her high heels off and just threw them on the side of the stage and was performing barefoot. And probably about halfway through the set, she just took her dress off and was performing in bra, panties, and a fishnet tube, which all of the lesbians and myself and I think the gay guy that I was standing next to from San Francisco, we were like, we love Beth Ditto. She's a fucking goddess. Like, and the security guards were very uncomfortable with the whole thing. Like, at one point, she was actually singing next to one, like, caressing him. He wasn't having as much fun as anyone in the crowd was. I think I can say that for sure. They also have a new album that's coming out this May called Joyful Noise, and they did perform a handful of songs off of that, which was fun just to hear some of the stuff that's going to be coming out soon from that band.
And they'll be coming back probably this summer, I'm guessing,
to Salt
Lake. I hope so.
I hope they tour through Utah on that album.
I hope she keeps her clothes on when I see her next.
I don't know.
I say that. I don't
she
know.
She has to now.
Beth Ditto,
I've seen Beth Ditto take her clothes off here at Urban Lounge before.
She just has to do it?
Did she have the tube?
No.
No tube?
Yeah.
No, she had nothing on.
Did you see boobs?
Seriously, I saw it all.
See, here she had the bra, panties, and a fishnet tube.
No, I saw it all.
Yeah.
Well, I guess to each his own. I'm not going to be looking at that. You got to catch Mr. Gnome a few times, right, Esther? A
couple times, yeah.
Which was your favorite one? Which showcase?
Definitely the second one. We saw them at Treasure Island. It was actually Jeanette. And then we met up with Gio Corona from Terror Bird, who we correspond with a lot here at Slug. There's just something about
Wait,
seeing
did
a
you
band.
Correspond in person with this person?
Yeah,
too?
We did. We met up. That's kind of the cool
Became
thing about
real life friends.
South by Southwest, yeah. Because we email all of these PR people just all the time. And so getting to meet them in person was just awesome because, you know, now we have that personal connection, and Gio was just really rad, so it worked out.
Perfect.
Well, he reps some really good bands like Mr. Gnome and Tycho and some other stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And that so, helps.
Yeah, it makes it easier to like them a lot. But yeah, so I think there's just something special about seeing a band at night versus during the day, because when we first saw them, it was for the Terror Bird Day Party, which was really cool because we got to see Tycho right after. But it's like people were just coming in. It was noon, you know, like you had a hangover from the night before. We hadn't even eaten breakfast yet. We were drinking a beer for breakfast, you know.
And serving free beer there.
Yeah, there wasn't that same kind of energy that we got at Treasure Island. And even though Treasure Island was a really weird venue.
I love Treasure Island. Treasure Island's a bar that it's on 6th Street and it's theme is pirate ship, and so the bar is actually shaped like a pirate ship.
Oh, wow.
And there's gallows. I thought it was really fun.
And they didn't really have a stage, like they just played at the very front, and so we were all crowded around the front and no one could get past. But they just have this amazing energy, and it's just this duo, Sam Easter and Nicole Baril, or Baril, I'm not quite sure how to say her last name.
And you said that the set you caught at night, a quote from your piece was that it always has a certain kind of magic, am I right? It's a question mark. You enjoy the shows at night.
Yeah. Like I was saying, there's just something special about seeing a band like later in the night.
When you haven't had as many Lone Stars.
But you know, to counter that, I will say that I think that's a sign of a true
rocker is that they can have 2 hours of sleep and play a showcase in the middle of the day when normally they're not a daytime person and rock your socks off, which that was the first time I saw Mr. Gnome at the Terror Board party. Mm-hmm. They've come through Salt Lake a bunch of times. I've had one of actually our former Slug writers, Circus Brown, has been talking about them for years, and I've always just kind of disregarded them for one reason or another. It didn't work out to go see them at Bird's Tiki Lounge or something like that, but I was really stoked to stare when you pulled me along to that showcase and said, let's check out Mr. Gnome, and they did. They blew my socks off at noon, and I know that they'd only had 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, she's got just amazing vocals, just in the way that she layers the music so that it really comes off true to the album. Because, I mean, the album's really noisy, and you can't believe that it's just a duo that's making all that noise, and you see them live, and you're like, what? You know, this is what they sound like on the album.
I think you're...
got just like tons of pedals in front of her.
Crazy pedal work is what you
said, right? Yeah, she's got all these pedals, and she's recording her voice on one mic, and then looping the guitar work over, you know, her vocals, and then singing along with that on the other mic. And so it's just, I mean, they're really talented musicians.
Yeah, all on 2 hours of sleep, right?
Well, and it's hard to recreate that stuff live and make it sound good.
Mm-hmm. Pedals, one pedal is hard enough for most musicians. Trying to do two or three where you're looping vocals and your guitar and you're only a two-piece, it's a true test. So it's really good they pulled it off. Yeah. We'll have to catch them when they come to town, right?
Yeah, they're coming on April 3rd, and they're playing at Urban. Last time they played at Burt's, and I don't think that it really worked out that well there, but I think that at Urban it's going to be a perfect venue for them, and hopefully they'll get more than 20 people out.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. We've got a lot of podcast listeners.
Yeah,
they'll be coming out for sure.
All of you be there, please.
And The Sword, one of my personal favorite bands actually on this
list.
Oh,
really? I didn't know that, JP.
Are you, is this one of your jokes, Jess? Of course.
No, I'm serious.
And how were they live? I wish I'd seen them live, but I haven't checked
them. You know, it's one of those shows where me and Angela and Jeanette had been there at the venue, which it's formerly Emo's, I guess, which I had never been to. This is my first time being at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And so...
We call it the fake Emo's.
We call it the fake Emo's. Now it's not Emo's.
Oh, really?
Emo's moved somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
We have no
Emo's
idea
is
where.
Gone. There's no more Emo's.
Well, there is.
In that, just
there's no more Emo's in that good location.
Well, let's not cry about it, guys.
You went to Emo's last year,
didn't
you?
Way too poetic. Get it, Emo? All right, yeah, I did.
There?
I checked it. Oh, boy. It's good they're gone, maybe, though, because there's a great venue replacing it, or no?
I think it was just a venue for South by Southwest.
Oh, right.
I think it's black other nights. Yeah.
So. It doesn't matter, though. You enjoyed them regardless of where they'd be, probably, right?
Like I was saying, as I was coming out, at the last minute, I noticed that The Sword was going to play there. I had no idea. And was like, oh, well, I have a hole in my time period between this band. I'll go back and see them. And I did. And I have seen them in Salt Lake like years and years ago before they came out with their latest record. And it's really good. It's good stoner metal, as most people will put it. So
I would say it's solid metal. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What you want to listen to in a certain mood, certain time period. Did you catch this during the day, the evening? When was the show?
It's at the evening. Yeah.
It's the best time for metal though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to see me a little.
And I actually took photos as well at that show.
Are those up on the site yet?
No, it's all film, so I have to develop it.
They'll be up a little later.
Yeah.
But we're going to scan them. That'll be great. I'm sure people listening want to check out pictures from that show, just like I do. I'm really interested in seeing how that turned out. Sounds like it was a blast.
It was amazing.
Are they going to come through town, do you think, anytime soon?
I don't know.
They played the Depot, I know, in the past.
Yeah, I don't know where they would play now.
I didn't go to that show.
But. Last time I saw them when they played was at Club Vegas.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm. That's a venue to see The Sword at, if I've ever heard of a venue.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about what's coming up this coming week?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Good answers. Young the Giant is going to be on Tuesday, April 3rd at In the Venue. They are alt and indie rock. I've heard one of their songs on the radio before. Are any of you guys familiar with this group at all? They kind of have it's a good description, alt indie rock, but definitely more towards the poppy side. They've probably got a single on SoundCloud you can go check out. Doesn't come to my mind right now, but
everyone else will be at Mr. Gnome.
I was gonna say that your band there, Mr. Gnome, is gonna be with the Redwood Plan and the Biggest Urn at Urban Lounge. You're gonna be showing up there.
Sounds like I will be there.
I'll be there as well.
Angela, you have to, Are you going to say you're going to be there?
Yeah, you know, if I'm around, I'll be there. You got it.
I probably will not be there.
Okay, good. Good. Now that we have that squared away, everyone's keeping track at home, right? And on Tuesday as well, it's the birthday of Dylan Shadwick. He's a slug writer. Metal, right?
He's one of our metal hardcore writers. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Esther. I missed that. No, you have to say happy birthday like that. It's great whenever we do birthdays for slug writers. And that Friday, we've got the Stereo Philadelics. The Stereo Philadelics. From North Carolina, the Tuxedo Tramps, and Four Leaves Left. They'll be at Burt's. Groove rock, rockabilly, blues rock. I know when I see the word rockabilly, I think of Josh Joy. You're going to be there, Josh.
I am not going to be there. Silly.
Bucking the trend, okay. And moving on to Saturday the 7th, the B-Boy Federation, which is a local breakdancing collective, is going to be holding the round 4 competition of theirs at PAL Boxing Gym, which is at 2835 South 200 East. Has anybody seen the B-Boy Federation dancing?
Yeah.
Besides me?
Yeah. They were at Catholic City last year, weren't they?
You got it.
They lay out the mat and they do some appropriately B-Boy-esque moves, so if you're a fan of breakdancing, check that out. And Sunday the 8th, we've got Mr. Jesse Walker's Easter Bunny Hop, which is at the Garage, featuring DJs, techno, dance style music.
I think it's an annual event, too.
It is, yes.
Yeah, I've never been. Maybe this will be the year.
Well, we're talking about it on the podcast, Angela, so I know how into Easter you are.
Yep.
And things with the word hop in them.
Anything with bunnies.
Right. Bunnies are the cutest.
I'm into
anything
the chicks.
Anything with Jesus.
It's funny. I'm into peeps.
Those will rot your teeth, JP.
They will. They're so delicious. But, you know, they've got fire pits at the Garage. I'm thinking this, just throwing this out there, we can roast the peeps over the open fire. Have you ever done this before?
Yeah, there's a fire pit.
Well, we will have to make sure it's lit. And
it's always lit. It's runoff propane.
Okay, I'll bring the graham crackers. You bring the peeps.
Fuck yes.
All right. You bring the chocolate.
I'll bring some chocolate.
Some vegan chocolate.
Some vegan chocolate.
I don't think peeps are vegan.
Yeah, they're probably not.
They're the opposite of vegan. They are just gelatin and flavor.
I'll bring some vegan marshmallows.
Okay. They do exist.
Vegan peeps.
We could sculpt them.
Oh, I think
peeps.
They have vegan peeps.
What?
I think they have vegan peeps.
They do or you do?
Cakewalk has this like Easter basket thing. I bet you they have peeps.
I think those might be faux peeps.
Faux peeps. I have a lot of faux peeps.
Oh, wait, are we talking about people?
Yeah, we're talking about people.
Peeps.
This whole time I just think of roasting people over a propane fire. And we've got another birthday coming up on that Sunday.
Kyla Grant. She's one of our slug music writers. Happy birthday, Kyla.
There we go. And Monday the 9th, Acid Mother's Temple, Phantom Family, Halo, both will be at Urban. It's a Japanese psychedelic indie rock from Kentucky showcase.
Acid Mother's Temple are incredible. You should really go see them. They play really long, droney acid rock. Kind of psychedelic too. Usually they'll do some sort of weird light show.
And that's the Japanese band, I'm guessing.
You got it.
And Phantom Family Halo is the indie rock band from Kentucky. I don't want to make it sound like that was all the same band, because that would be quite a band.
That seems like an odd pairing. Probably bring out a lot of different people.
That's what Urban Lounge can be good for. Sometimes they've got divergent...
diversity?
Yeah. Divergent diversity. Great job.
You just coined a new genre.
Holy shit. I'm going to play the didgeridoo.
What's your band called?
And that was the event section. Thanks for joining us, guys. We actually have an app for our calendar section and Slug in general.
Yeah, we've designed our own and created iPhone app. Slug Magazine includes the magazine itself and all the events coming up and links to our website, among other things.
In fact, Josh Joy designed the splash page and the logo on the iPhone app.
I was wondering who to thank for that. Good job, Josh.
No big deal.
No big deal. You're so modest. So modest. And as usual, you can check out the rest of our daily calendar in the back of Slug Magazine and on our website, the front page there at slugmag.com. All the fun stuff that's going on in town we have on the front page of our website. It's definitely the best resource for finding out what's going on in town. I always tell people I know that are visiting, I say, hey, check out our website, because it is better than anything else out there in town. And we've got some shows that you won't find anywhere else. Best info. Maybe I'm a little biased, but it's true, I think. Let's get back into the roundtable about South by Southwest. I want to talk about a few more bands you guys liked and the experience overall in general. You mentioned earlier Tycho. They were the Mohawk.
saw Terror Birds Tycho at the Mohawk with Astaire, and it was incredible. It was really fun. The lead singer is also a graphic designer by trade, and I believe he made the film himself that was this really neat long narrative that was coordinated with the music. So it created a really fun, almost emotional experience during their show. I was really excited to see them play because this is a record that we spin in the Slug office quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like to listen to it in the mornings. It's a good morning record.
What makes a good morning music?
You know, sometimes it's nice to have something that just kind of like eases you into the groove of the day. And that Tycho record really does that. It was a really great way to kind of ease into the festival with it being one of the first nights of South by Southwest. And I pulled a Astaire and Jeanette and went and saw them play again the next day. It wasn't so good the next day because the video projector wasn't working and it was still pretty early. It was a daytime show as opposed to a nighttime show, but they still pulled it off. Their set was still incredible and really fun to watch.
Yeah, they're also attractive, which helps.
Yeah.
Doesn't it always? And you saw Diamond Rugs.
This was one of the bands I was most excited to see. I was trying to catch them all week long, but the first time I actually saw them was on Saturday afternoon at the Brooklyn Vegan Day Party, which was held at a place, originally some divey hotel called the Hotel Vegas, which they changed the name to Hotel Vegan. But as they were setting up on stage, I knew that it featured members of Black Lips, Ian St. Pei, who plays guitar, John McCauley from Deer Tick, members from Los Lobos and Dead Confederate too, so I was really excited to see what they were like live. They ended up having 10 members total, which it was kind of funny as they were all piling onto the stage. I started counting, and at first I counted 7, and then another guy popped up. I was like, oh, is he just like a guitar tech? What's he doing? Oh no, he's picking up a tambourine. By the time they were all up there, they had 3 guitarists who was John McCauley, Ian St. Pei, and Hardy Morris from Dead Confederate. They had 3 different percussionists. They had a harmonica player, a bass player, and then a trumpet and saxophone player. There might have been a keyboard player that was moonlighting as well.
And a tambourine specifically.
Yep, and well, they kind of were rotating around the tambourine. they also all shared vocals, which was really cool. This is a record that I actually got an advance of and fell in love with probably about half of it. And after seeing them perform live, I loved the entire album. I don't know, it was a really awesome show.
Was the lineup the same for both shows?
The lineup was the same for both shows. One thing that was kind of fun though that I actually really enjoyed, they only have this one upcoming album, so they don't have any other material to pull from. But I think they realized that there was a handful of people like myself who had seen them twice that day. And so they mixed things up a little bit. Their second show of the night, which they played, they started at like 1 a.m., which was at the Lustre Pearl, which is a really cool venue just in and of itself. It's an old house that's been turned into a bar, but
it is a cool venue. I went to it last year.
Yeah, I liked
it. It's really fun.
I like that place. They announced that they were gonna play their entire new album and they were gonna play it in order. And since the majority of the crowd, besides probably a few people like myself, hadn't heard it, I don't know, it was a fun way to mix up their set, I thought.
Did they play any Deer Tick or Black Lips songs?
No, which I was actually really
bummer.
I mean, I'll be honest, I don't really like Deer Tick. I'm not a huge Deer Tick fan. John McCauley's vocals in that band, I get really just sick of them after a few songs, but Diamond Rugs is a lot more rock and roll than Deer Tick is, and it was fun to see him kind of change up just the way he sings, I guess. He did a lot less swooning to the crowd as well.
When you say rotating around a tambourine, I think of just guys dancing around a tambourine, by the way. Put a tambourine on the ground, that's not the case.
No, although at their nighttime show, at one point they threw a tambourine into the crowd, and the guy that was standing next to me grabbed it, and at first I was really scared because I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
What if he can't keep the beat? Like, what if I just have a terrible tambourine in my ear?
You know, JP, if you want a tambourine player in your didgeridoo project, I'd be more than happy.
You're gonna dance? Oh, great.
The guy in the crowd, though, did an awesome job with the tambourine.
Nice. I find it funny and awesome that John McCauley did that showcase with them because last year he did Middle Brother with like, I think it's, how do you pronounce it? Dawes, is that it? And then, like, another band I'd have...
Have to look
and
up.
So, yeah, I'd have to look it up.
Well, that's with this, I was really excited because there's so many members of this band that they're busy. I mean, Dear Tick is about to go on tour in Europe, I believe. Black Lips will probably be on tour again soon. And so I think the chance to see kind of all of these musicians come together was sort of a rare, special thing.
And to Sarah, the last band we've got on the list here is Umi. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
It's pronounced Umi, actually.
I made that mistake too, a couple times.
Yeah, I've done it too. Yeah, and I actually caught these guys on Valentine's Day. They opened for Cursive, and I wasn't super impressed when I saw them then. Maybe it was because, I don't know, I guess that the mic, they were having mic problems, which actually they had mic problems again at this show, but her vocals just weren't very impressive, and she was like dancing and stuff on stage, but there wasn't like a whole lot of energy from the crowd. And I think that Lauren Larson, she's the front woman for the band, kind of feeds off of that energy. But seeing them at the Bath Bar, it was actually my first show at South by Southwest, and I went with Angela. I think both of us were just like awestruck by her, because I mean, she completely carries that band. Like, this band is all about her. Her guitar playing is amazing, and not only that, but she's like rocking out and, you know, like jumping and like kicking and doing these crazy things and singing while she's doing all of this. And so it made for a really great performance, really great show, and everyone was really hyped on them. So
is that what it was, the crowd's energy, or do you think she was on drugs? Why was it a better show this time around?
They're from Austin.
Yeah.
So it is her hometown.
Yeah, so I'm sure that had something to do with it. You know, she's like in her home turf and stuff. And then
she probably really slept the night before.
Cursive has probably got to be a hard act to open for too. Because that's where you saw them the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're the opening band for that. You know that nobody's there to see you.
Everybody's well, it seems like Cursive. A weird pairing too. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, she's such a rocker. And so opening for Cursive.
Yeah, it was really strange. And I'd never actually heard of them before that. I had gotten a PR email that day, actually, telling me that I should go check them out before Cursive. So I got there early to go see them, and I listened to the album. They have this album that was released recently called Phantoms. And I was like, oh, well, some of the songs on this are cool, but I went back and listened to it after the show, and I guess got to know it a little better, and I guess I was a little more stoked on them, and so the album's actually one of my favorites now.
I'm glad you gave them a second chance. Sometimes people write a band off, they're like, well, whatever. But sometimes people have off days as musicians, as everyone does, so mm-hmm. It's good that you had a redemptive experience with Ume.
Ume.
That's what I was saying. And Josh, you saw Jesus and Mary Chain.
Well, actually, me and Angela both saw them together.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that
unit.
Because you listed that
scored,
as...
Yeah, and we scored some exclusive records that you could only get the show for $500.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we bought two.
So why don't you both tell me why it was such a great show then? Because you listed this as well, right, Angela? It's one of your better shows.
You got it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ever since, I'd never known about them until I found out it from the soundtrack of Lost in Translation, which is an awesome movie as well. Heard them off that when I was in high school, and then really started to get into them a lot more the past 5-6 years. And honestly didn't think that I'd ever see them play live, just because I've never seen them come through or didn't ever see showcases. Maybe the last time I saw them play was New York at CMJ.
Well, they've kind of been inactive for the past few years. They really
haven't heard about them.
They're two brothers in the band. They've both been notorious for having, not only getting, you know, disagreeing and not getting along, but also for drug problems with heroin and things like that. So now that they're a little bit older and have their shit together again, they're back at it.
I was surprised when I saw this on the list. I was like, what? I didn't know those guys were back at it. That's really good that you got to catch them. What did you like about the show, Angela?
You know, I'm a huge fan of Psycho Candy, and they only played one track off Psycho Candy, Just Like Honey, which some guest vocalist came out, and it was really frightening when she hit the stage, because she literally almost fell over hitting the stage when she was getting on there. She was wearing some heels and just was taking her steps incorrectly, and I think the whole crowd just gasped. But luckily she caught herself right in time to start singing backup vocals on that track. And I love their guitar distortion. They can do it like no one else. Their hybrid of noise is just, it's fantastic.
And you got pictures of that as well.
Sure did.
We can check out.
There's a lot of feedback from the guitars and everything that sounded, you know, most feedback at any other show, you'd be like, what is the deal? The sound guy's not doing a good job. But it felt like it definitely was intentional, and it had to have been.
Yeah, with South by Southwest, it's a pretty big opportunity for bands. It sounds like they probably program the feedback in, which is a certain style that people go for, definitely. Could also be the sign of a shitty sound man, though.
You're right. Yeah.
That record I referenced, Psycho Candy, when it came out, it was one of the first records to have feedback throughout all of the tracks. And a lot of people hated it and dismissed the band right off the bat. And later on, they kind of got away from that and did more pop stuff, which is still good.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you guys all had a chance to see similar showcases and you had an equally amazing time. What were some of the highlights? I know you guys have been talking, you were talking while you were down there. Were there some showcases that you all were like, yeah, that was the best thing I've ever fucking seen, man. We gotta see this group tomorrow. Did you guys ever have those moments where you were all at the same showcase and really enjoyed it?
Angela, Josh, and myself both saw the A La La's twice. Who they actually just, they played the Thursday before we all went down to South by Southwest, the 8th. They were touring with the Growlers. I'd never heard of them. Like the Growlers, figured that since I liked one of the band they were touring with would probably be pretty awesome. And the night that I saw them play with the Growlers, I thought they were better than the Growlers. And so when I went down there, they were another band that I was like, we gotta see the A La La's, they're so good.
Well, and I heard that comment from numerous people. We were working a Slug Games event the Saturday before we left for South By, and two or three people were like, oh, did you go to that show? And I was like, no, but I heard the A La La's were better than the Growlers, and all of them were like, yeah, they upstaged the Growlers. We knew we had to go.
The one thing that was a bummer that I'm sad about is by the time they hit Salt Lake, they were totally sold out of records. They didn't have any records for sale at South By. They'd sold out on their tour, so wanna get some music from them, but probably have to order it online.
Actually, you can't. I looked it up, and they're like waiting now because they did their first pressing. They're trying to do like a second pressing right now, so
really?
They're in the middle between the other pressing of it.
Well, my favorite song was the one that the drummer sang at the very end of their set.
Oh yeah,
I love that one.
Another thing, they're all really attractive, which I didn't realize probably until like. After seeing them play multiple times, I was like, these are all really attractive dudes. Like,
this is a theme in bands for
you. Yeah, well, for a band, like, the kind of music they play, like, I expected them to look more... Like, everybody in the Growlers looks a little tore up and...
Yeah, I know.
Like, they've done too many drugs and drank way too much. But the A La La's, they're from L.A., so...
I think the vocals probably match their looks in, like, the Growlers and then also in the A La La's.
I like that we've got split straight down the middle, actually. On my right, we've got the vets of South By, as people call it, South By Southwest. And on the left, the noobs to the festival.
Yeah, thank you for calling me a noob.
Somebody had to do it. And that was N-E-W-B-S, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
Appropriate spelling. How did you guys find the experience to be in terms of your first... Was it your first time in Austin for both of you?
Yeah.
Like, in general?
Yeah.
You've been to Texas before, yeah?
Yeah, I went to Austin City Limits a couple of years ago, so I'd kind of done the festival thing, but nowhere... I mean, ACL's nowhere near, like, South by Southwest.
Nothing is nowhere near South by Southwest.
Yeah, actually, last year, I went to CMJ for the first time last year, and in my mind, I was like, I bet it'll be similar. It's not at all. I mean, it's still cool, but South by, it's sort of its own beast.
Well, you kind of... I mean, Austin is perfect for an event like that. I mean, there's just bars everywhere, and you kind of have to have that set up in order to have a situation like South by Southwest exist.
Yeah. It was nice weather and...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
How was it similar and different than what you guys thought?
I guess the going into it, I was a little bit... I was a little nervous because I was looking through the list of bands playing and setting up my schedule, and then Jeanette was like RSVPing us to a whole bunch of stuff and sending out a list of that. I just didn't really know what to expect, and I thought that I was going to get there and just be like completely overwhelmed. And it is overwhelming in a sense, but it's just kind of like you just dive into it and everything just kind of seemed to like work out, you know. And there were times when, like on Wednesday night, I went from venue to the one next door to see a band that I wanted to go see, to the one next door to see a band that I wanted to go see. And that was just really awesome to me. There's just so many people, so many different kinds of people, so much music and so much different music. It was a great opportunity, so I'm glad I went.
And Josh?
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
I don't care what that t-shirt says. I'd still want to go down there, maybe. Only if I could live in an Airstream, though. That's the only stipulation.
Operate a food truck out of one, maybe?
No, not that at all. But just, and hang out. It was just, it was eye-opening, and there was always something to do. Like, there was, I always found something going on that was just amazingly fun all the time.
It's kind of nonstop fun.
Yeah, it is.
You land there and you don't stop having fun for 5 days.
Yeah. One really cool thing that one of my favorite things was Jack White has a mobile truck that's a store that rolls around during the time, and you get Twitter feeds based on where the truck is, and the truck is decked out to look amazing, interior, exterior of the store. You just buy records from his label.
The clerks have little uniforms, the girls have these matching little dresses that are kind of period specific, and then the guys are wearing white shirts and black ties.
Kind of period are the dresses from?
I think probably from the 60s.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's cute.
It's a Jack White-esque thing, right?
Yeah.
What's the name of his label again?
Third Man Records.
Right. All right, any final famous last words from all you guys? I mean, no, we're about to wrap this up. It sounds like you had a great time. Thanks for all your hard work, because you did party, but you also did a good job of cataloging it for our website and for the issue that's about to come out here in April. But what would you guys like to say?
If you ever have a chance to go down to Austin during South by Southwest, take it. It's amazing. You won't regret it.
And buy the badge.
Yeah, it's buy the badge.
It's worth it.
Yeah, go support all of the bands that were at South by Southwest that are touring through Salt Lake, because, you'll get a taste of it here.
And splurge on a hotel close to the convention center.
I'm actually really glad you guys
and bring comfortable shoes.
Convinced me to do that.
And eat at the kimchi burrito cart, because it is amazing.
But don't get there too late, because if you get there too late, your burrito might be missing half the ingredients. It will still taste delicious because you're drunk.
They make a mean kimchi quesadilla.
They weren't serving the quesadillas this year.
Fuck them.
I thought of you, though. I thought that you would be sad.
I'm glad to know I didn't miss anything, then. That's the main reason I wanted to go back.
Just for the kimchi quesadillas.
I really love kimchi quesadillas. It's great.
All right, start a cart, JP. That's your calling.
Okay, there it is. Thanks for listening to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground, and thanks for joining me, guys. And for all things Slug Magazine, as usual, you can visit slugmag.com. What summer movies are you looking forward to? We're going to be speaking with Slug's film critic Jimmy Martin in an upcoming episode. We want to hear what you guys want to hear us talk about. And you can let us know at soundwaves@slugmag.com or call us at 858-233-9324. That's our voicemail line. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We may just play your call on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Maronio, and Jonathan Paxton. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T-Done, and technical design by Kate O'Connor. Next week's show, we're going to have a preview of Ryan Baxter, Reenactor, the full-length film, Harlan, which is another short film, and Asian Man Records. Thanks for joining me, guys. It was really great to have you all here doing this roundtable, and thanks for waking up. I know you're all a little jet-lagged from Austin.
Thanks, JP.
Toodle-skis.